RPG Lessons Learned. When the game is over, when your players are gone, that's when lessons are learned. We are at RPGLL Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, rpglpodcast@gmail.com, and check us out online at rpglessonslearned.com. Welcome to RPG Lessons Learned, the show where you can learn from our mistakes. With me, as usual, is Brian.
Hey, Dusty, how's it going?
And Mike.
Hey, Dusty, what's up?
I'm doing really well, guys. So today, we are talking about Brian's game.
Is that like Ender's Game?
Like Brian's song?
Yes.
No, so Brian has been exploring, kicking around, thinking about GMing. And today, Mike and I are going to help him work through some pre-planning for a session, just to kind of get a concept and get an idea out there. So, Brian, let's start off with audience. Obviously, if we're helping you come up with a game, you can't run us.
Yeah, this is true.
So who are you going to run, do you think?
So I've been putting a lot of thought into this, and I don't want to put some... Okay,
well, one person... If you don't want to put anyone on the spot...
I'm going to.
Okay.
I am going to. So you suggested friends like Ricky and Chris. I think Ricky would be great. Ricky played the Ninja Turtle game, and we talked about that, and he was interested in doing more. Chris has been downright...
different Chris than the Chris we usually talk about.
Different Chris. This is a different Chris. This Chris has been sort of downright hostile to the idea of RPGs. And I don't know why. He loves his Final Fantasy, but just the idea of actually having friends...
D&D's for nerds.
Yeah.
That's his attitude, right?
Yeah, but I mean, he gladly accepts the mantle of nerds. I think it's just that nobody would actually want to play with him, so it's just easier to... So...
We should clarify for those at home that Brian and Chris have been friends forever.
Not forever, since high school.
For a long, long time.
Mike and I have been friends nearly forever.
Forever, yeah.
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 So, much longer. Jason and I have literally been friends my entire life.
Yeah.
So, but you're good enough friends with Chris that you're busting his chops right now, but there's no real hostility.
Well, I mean, there's always like an undercurrent.
Maybe just a little.
But
one of those friendships.
Yeah. So, no, Chris and I are tight. But he has been hostile toward D&D. And I can only assume that it's because it's the one thing that he feels that he can hold over me. And it's just the one thing that it's the one nerd trope he never got into.
Oh, dude, the geek hierarchy is for real. Or the nerd hierarchy. Yeah. I forget. Yeah. If you Google it, there's a million different versions of nerds who look down on other nerds. And of course, the point of graphing it in hierarchy is that it's all artificial and stupid.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah. So I'm susceptible to that. You know, I look at certain people and I'm like, I'm a better nerd than that. And that's entirely what he does. But so yeah, that Chris is out. And I think that Chris and Nathan from our game probably are going to be out. Nathan specifically, because I think I'm not ready for Nathan. I don't think that the way that he games, I am not ready to take that on. And Chris also to another extent, but Chris is not as challenging as Nathan, I think, from a GM perspective. But I don't know. I want to have a clean slate from like the normal game, because I don't want to like just completely mess the bed and have to look at you guys, you know, every game and just know that I failed in front of you. So I kind of want to have it like a different crew. So you had mentioned some mutual friends that could also possibly be in the game, husband and wife. And we've talked about doing something kind of like that before. My friend Heather, she's been on a couple of podcasts that I've recorded, and her husband Joe, we've talked about having him on. This is kind of like that. So I think they would probably be some good people to bring on. So if we're sticking it to three, probably Ricky, Heather, and Joe, but I haven't approached Heather and Joe about it.
Got it.
So do you think you might be more successful targeting people who are completely new to RPGs or trying to get like a mix?
Ricky is pretty close. Yep. Joe has RPG'd before. Heather, I think, probably has as well, but it's been a while for either of them. I'm going to try to run a really simplistic game, and I want to avoid like what happened with our friend Mark back when he started playing with us years ago. Mark had played D&D a lot, and he had, again, like the nerd hierarchy, he kind of looked down on us because he had D&D'd so much, and we hadn't at that point when we were playing 4E, that he kind of held back everything. I want to have somebody who is excited to play, and they want to be at the table, and I don't want to disappoint somebody who has a lot of experience, but also I don't want them to just presume that I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. There's a certain comfort level for new GMs. I mean, there's a real reason, Brian, why when I started running, I ran you guys who had never played RPGs before.
I thought it was because you loved us.
Well, there's that too. But when you go out on a limb and you start GMing and you put yourself out there as the guy at this table who knows the rules, it's a little more comforting when you know that not everyone else at the table does know the rules. Because it would just, I can't imagine, well, yeah, I can imagine a lot worse for a new GM, actually. But one nightmare new GM scenario is an experienced player who's like, well, actually,
yeah,
that's not how encumbrance works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you want to avoid that. That makes total sense.
Absolutely. That's
so.
That's
my goal. And you mentioned system. So let's talk. Well, let's skip ahead and talk system.
Okay.
You said simplistic.
Yeah.
So are you thinking like Pocket Fantasy RPG?
Yeah. So Pocket Fantasy was what we did the Sumuhu game in.
Yep. DM Scotty ran us through that.
Yeah, that was really simplistic. What was it? Two dice or just?
It was just D6. It was most actions were a single D6.
Yeah.
If you had a stat, you could roll 2d6 and take the higher.
Yeah, so that worked great. I like crunchy stuff. I kind of like the math of, you know, like all of the different traits and everything you have to do and like switching out your die. And I like doing math fast in my head as a parlor trick. So, but I would kind of lose all of that, but I don't really need all the distraction anyway. And in doing this, I want to make it a pleasurable experience for everybody. And I think everybody can enjoy a system like that where even if we did like Pathfinder, I just really think that that would be too much for some people, especially. And I don't want to botch it in the course of trying to run the game. Pocket Fantasy, I think it would be hard for me to botch it.
Do you feel committed to running a system that you've played? Or are you open to running any system that's meant for?
I am open to running anything that I think that will be simple for everybody involved.
Okay, let's circle back on that. What's your goal? Is it just to run a one-shot, or do you want to start a campaign, or is it just like a total exploratory one-shot session?
So, honestly, we've talked about doing an actual play just for the sake of learning what it would take to do an actual play.
Yes.
Lessons learned. I could see myself actually doing kind of like an actual play, like in a Transformer setting, and then making that like occasional content for my Transformer stuff, because Radio Free Cybertron is the big show, which is the way I like calling it. I don't want to call it my primary show because it makes it like I'm playing favorites, but it's obviously the bigger show.
Sure.
But we also mix in other things as well. In one feed, we put in some other Transformers related content that we do. And occasionally running my guys on that show through like a Transformers-based RPG and having something semi-serialized as extra content actually might be kind of fun.
So your goal is to run this one-shot related to Transformers or unrelated to Transformers?
I'm thinking this will probably be unrelated.
Okay, so you're just getting some GM
experience
under your belt for this session. And potentially, if you like GMing, maybe running a Transformers game for some of the RFC crew.
Yeah.
That's cool. That tells me more about your goal. So your goal is for this session, your goal is a one-shot exploratory.
Yeah, and also I know how much you enjoy playing. So occasionally if I can GM something and you get to experience, you know, the other side of the table besides just the Martin game, I think that would be beneficial for all of us.
That was kind of my original goal for choosing to DM the games that I would DM, just to get a little experience for myself. It also give Dusty that chance to actually be in the player seat. So I did not continue on that DM path. But
and you did, I think you did a great job. You did.
I think from time to time I'm picking it back up, but I just haven't. So what story do you think you want to tell with this one shot?
So I've thought a little bit about this, and I think some advice that Dusty gave me. Again, I'm just going to rip off DM Scotty. Because that was such a great experience. And honestly, in a lot of ways, it's like understanding how a magic trick works, because there wasn't a lot to the story. It was just you were given, motivation for taking action. And then either the rest is made up at the table, or it's just the story is just trappings to facilitate the actual adventure or the actual play. So I probably whatever I do, it'd probably be more heavy on the G than more so than maybe the RPing. Not that RPing is less enjoyable for me because I really enjoy it, but I think it would be easier for me to deal with the tactics more so than the creative aspect, at least to begin with, because it's kind of like waiting tables or something. It's like, how many plates can you carry at a given time? There's only so much capacity, especially when you're starting out, and I want to do something that I think would be, that would do everybody justice and sort of getting fun out of it, where me just rambling off the top of my head some story and trying to have a really awkward interaction with somebody. Like, was it in a recent game where Dusty was flirting with Chris, or we wanted Dusty to flirt with Chris.
Yeah.
I don't want to flirt with Ricky. I want to avoid as much of that as possible.
You made a super interesting analogy just now about the waiter, and I want to dig in on that. Let's talk about you as a customer in a restaurant real quick. And a waiter is such a good example for a GM. How have we never talked about this? Oh my God. So the waiter's got a couple aspects to the job, right? They're the soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
Smile, you know, whip up some conversation, but not too much.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the specials. Well, I guess that's technical. So the soft skills are, you know, smile, be friendly, make people want to leave you that tip. So that's all soft skills. Then there's the technical mastery. What are today's specials? What's the menu like? What's good on the menu? How do you get drink orders, get drinks out, keep drinks refilled, get the food out, check in on the table. There's all those mechanics, and waiters have to get their systems down. So what's more important to you as a customer? A waiter who has mastered the technical, who is getting your drink order and getting your drinks and getting your food out with terrible soft skills, or a waiter with amazing soft skills, but his technical needs a lot of work? Maybe it's his first day, but oh my God, he's so friendly.
And so it depends on what I want, what experience I'm going for. If I'm going for a cheap meal, I don't really care as long as they don't screw up my order. But if I'm going and I'm dropping quite a bit of money, I typically want to have at least the whole package. I want to have somebody who's not going to mess up my order, but also somebody that's sort of, you know, enjoyable to speak with. And if they're cute and they touch my shoulder, you know, hey, that's an extra 5%. So,
and they know that.
And they absolutely, they know that.
So, in all seriousness, what you're saying is you want both. And I hear that you want both. But now you're the waiter.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Right.
And you're trying to learn this job.
In my mind, this is just basically a diner. It's a low rent. My goal is to have a low rent diner where the food's pretty good and the waiter doesn't screw anything up. You know, eventually I can work my way toward something higher end. And I mean, heck, maybe I can, you know, at a later point try to GM again where I'm just more focusing on, hey, I'm at a high rent place and I'm a new waiter. So I'm really focusing on the soft skills, but I may, you know, instead of bringing you, filet, I might bring you a New York strip or something like that.
So I think, yeah, you have to kind of set your customer's expectations in this scenario, right?
Yeah.
It's the first day at a new restaurant. It's your first day as a short order cook. It's your first day as a waiter. Your players are going to expect that you're going to struggle with the technical sides. So I think they would be willing or almost expecting kind of an over deliverance on the soft skills.
What I want to avoid is going in, and we've all had these guys. I went to an IHOP last year where the waiter was sort of friendly, not really, but we had a table of like 8 people and he did not take notes. He did not write down what anybody got. It was like, I'm so good at this, I don't need to write anything down.
And he got everything right.
He got a third of it. He got a third wrong.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like it wasn't a great experience in like the tactics of it or in the soft skills. I want to avoid that entirely. I want to not excel, but I at least want to be acceptable in whatever I'm trying to do.
All right, so you don't want to come up with a story in advance, which is perfect. That's great.
I'll have the framework for a story.
Oh sure.
Yeah.
What story? What type of? Oh, all right. So I'll throw out some advice.
A stranger comes to town. That'll be simple as that.
Okay. I've never heard that story.
No, I'm just saying, like, what is it? There's only four stories infection, a stranger comes to town, somebody finds himself or whatever. I was just trying to be funny.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
There's a great big list of RPG plots out there. But what I do when I'm running a new group or when I'm trying to have something on the fly that works really well, like Assassin's Creed, is you come up with the villains first. And what are the villains doing? And that's all you do. Well, it's who are the villains? What are they doing? And then how do the players get wind of it? And from there, let the players run wild. So are there any villains that are particularly interesting to you that you might want to replicate?
So it has to be pretty simple. So when you say villains, my first thing is like, oh, if I were writing a story, I would try to give the villain all of these, you know, complex motivations. I'm not going for any kind of complex motivation. The person's going to be evil, you know. They're doing what they're doing because they're a bad person. Maybe because they're getting paid for it. I don't know. So maybe Hans Gruber or something like that from Die Hard.
Ooh, that's interesting.
That's actually just to kind of come up with that off the cuff and not say you're going to have a story. That'd be very interesting to see how that's going to balance out with each other. I also would wonder in your smaller scope story, is there going to be any room for interesting player decisions? Will your guys have any agency?
I can't take away player agency. I mean, you have to have player agency. Probably they'll be trapped somewhere or something where it's not like, oh, I'm going to go to the mall. Well, yeah. You can't because you're like locked in a pyramid.
Yeah.
Or trapped in a pyramid or something. I would try to do it where there's a rail.
A border.
Yeah.
That's why I had Terror of the Katara on a boat. Tanner had Holy Matrimony in that one town.
Yeah.
So you're going to do something like that.
Yeah, it would be something like that. But I mean, hopefully not obvious that I'm trying to, you know, suppress the open world mentality that some players might want to have. But I mean, it is what it is.
Are you going to let the players be the fly in the ointment, the monkey in the wrench?
I don't think I can stop them.
I meant like in true Hans Gruber fashion. That's what McClane said.
That's exactly what he is. Specifically Hans Gruber, like the plot of Die Hard. I can't. Actually, Die Hard is they're stuck in a building.
That's kind of perfect, isn't it? It's kind of perfect. They're on something that's been hijacked.
I'm almost wondering if you don't take the approach I took to my first game and find something pre-built. Add a little flavor of it to your own, minimal, you know, investment, minimal time, and work with that as your rail. So if you could find like a Die Hard pre-made one shot.
Yeah, but in the system he wants?
You'd have to convert it.
So that's why I'm helping him come up with the adventures. If he's going to run Pocket Fantasy RPG, you know, it's pretty easy. Here are your characters. It's pretty easy. Here's a bunch of monsters that should be level appropriate. And now, what's the sitch? And it's such an easy pitch to say, gosh, I don't know. I'm making stuff up now, Brian. You mentioned Die Hard, and you mentioned geographically limiting it.
So the thing about Hans Gruber, there's this scene where John McClane, this came out in 1986.
Yep.
And it came out 32 years ago. Hopefully you've seen it. So there's spoilers here.
Spoilers for Die Hard.
Spoiler alert for Die Hard.
But there's a scene where they interact and John McClane doesn't realize immediately that he is one of the Germans who have taken over the building. But it would be nice if I could create a hook where I interact, the villain would interact with the players or the characters, and they would, in storyline, not necessarily realistic, not necessarily in matter of the system, but where they are not incentivized to kill me so that there could be some interaction. Like, hey, you've got to wait until, I would have to set up something to where I have to be alive for something to happen. And once the thing starts to happen, you know, that could be the point where the character or the players could decide that they're going to attack so that they stop me from, like, taking over the world. But the gate, like Ghostbusters or something, the gate has to be open to do whatever. I don't know. I mean, I'm just, you know, spitballing right now, but I would want to interact with the players, and I would want to have something to where there's some repartee without them just rolling initiative and trying to kill me.
See, right there, you're saying you want to roleplay.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I realize that.
Yep. So I'm wondering, in Pocket Fantasy, does it how easy is it to build player character sets in Pocket Fantasy, right? Does it have guidelines for, you know, going beyond your basic fantasy group, Wizard Warrior, into like cop, SWAT unit?
I'm sure. I mean, I would just use, I would just use pre-gens. I would not, I would just, if.
Do you want a fantasy setting? Yeah, let's ask some more basic questions. Where do you want to set this?
I feel silly. This is the stupidest thing. It's kind of like me saying, I think Superman looks silly without his red trunks, and everybody else is like, well, he looks silly with them. I feel kind of silly sometimes RPGing outside of a fantasy setting. Sometimes it's weird for me.
Yeah.
So I probably would want to do a fantasy setting.
Okay.
I feel more comfortable there.
So it's a fantasy setting. How are you going to play? Online, in person?
That would be it would be in person.
Because you'd want it to be, or because it would have to be?
I would want it to be.
Okay. Picture your table. Do you have maps? Do you have minis? Or
I like maps. We've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm perfectly fine playing Theater of the Mind, but I don't know that somebody, especially someone who hasn't played before, immediately will get Theater of the Mind. I think they probably need the trappings of having a mini on the table and a map, even if they don't really refer to it that often. I think it would make more sense and be easier and more approachable for somebody else, especially if I'm playing with somebody who hasn't played an RPG in years from a system where you could only do with a map.
I don't know, man. I would challenge that. But it's your game, so I'm not going to. So you want to run with maps and minis?
I'm not saying that I specifically want to, but I personally think that it would be more...
A better experience for the players.
A better experience and more approachable for players.
Okay.
But I wouldn't create any scenario where you have to force line of sight, where you have to have, like, trying to shoot around a corner. It would, as much as possible, things would be open, and the maps and minis are just there
A reference.
A token offering to the players, you know, for their comfort.
So maps and minis, but not forcing mechanics.
Yeah.
Okay.
So something is happening with a villain trying to achieve something. You know, rob a building of gold. You mentioned open a gate. The villain's trying to do something.
Yeah.
And somehow the heroes become trapped in the same space with the villains.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what kind of logistics you want. Do you want NPCs in there? Like, do you want the potential for innocents to get killed, or you just want to totally avoid that and make it be kind of a fun house, you know, kill them all fest? When Mike asked the question about decisions, like, what kind of decisions do you want your players to make? Because if it's just, okay, I'm locked in this building with these terrorists, the interesting decision becomes, what's your approach for taking them out without dying?
So...
How many can I kill?
How many can I kill? How can I sneak around?
So I mentioned Superman, and I'm probably trying to craft something now that's just going to be ridiculous and impossible to create. But, like, I love Superman as a character. And in my mind, Silver Age Superman is where it's at. I like where they put Superman into situations where he has to either make a choice or he has to accomplish something that's more than just beating somebody up. It's outsmarting them. So I would want to create some sort of situation where either they have to figure out a puzzle or I kind of like the idea of giving them like a choice to make, and both outcomes are bad, but one would, you know, one choice might be less bad. And hey, if they figure out a way around it, kind of like we did in the Smohu game, even better. But I want to give them like a madman's choice, something like that, whatever it's called.
So, like, what kind of choice? Are you thinking like save these people or save these people?
Like, you know, save this one person or save everybody.
Yeah, save your girlfriend, Spider-Man, or
yes.
Save this entire compartment of people.
Yes,
bus full of kids.
Yeah,
bus full of kids.
And then you make it so that they can, but it's not going to be easy.
Where are you thinking about setting? So it's fantasy setting.
Fantasy setting.
You want maps.
I want maps.
You want your map to fit on a table.
I want it to fit on a table.
Are you picturing picking up and putting down different rooms, or are you picturing the whole maps on the table all at once?
Maybe flipping it once.
Okay.
So maybe an outside setting, then an inside setting. Like,
so how are they geographically limited to this? If they're starting in a prairie, how are they geographically limited?
That's a great question. So without resorting to like the silly video game force fields and stuff, it's kind of hard to limit that. So it would have to be.
It really is.
It would have to be.
Once you introduce maps and minis, yep. For those of you at home, you you introduce this whole concept of, okay, well, how do I have enough maps prepared logistically? And it's either through a tacit metagame agreement with your players that they're not going to go but so far away, or it's by limiting the players during the session somehow. Like I said, I set my adventure on a boat at sea, so yeah. There's nowhere you can go.
It would have to be some sort of catacomb or something. So the reason that I don't want to do theater...
What if they're shipwrecked on a desert island? It's like Lost. It starts out like Lost, and then you have the island on one side of the map, and you flip it, and you have the catacombs under the island on the other side.
So really what I think I need... I like the idea. Really what I think I need to do is figure out, basically build, going back to your business ethos, build requirements. You know, I want to have this kind of decision in place. I want to make sure that these players can't do this and they can do this and they can't do this. Then I just sit down and then craft out like what kind of environment that would take for that to be the case. And then I just build a simple story around it.
If I were, so yes, you can do that. You can also just steal a plot to a movie.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I can.
A movie that you like, that you're familiar with, it'll help you RP.
Tombstone. Shoot out to the OK Corral.
There you go.
How do you keep them inside the OK Corral?
Well, you give them the mission.
Yep.
You tell them that, hey, you know, you start off with, hey, you are the town guard. Ooh, what a fun throwing people on their ear. Usually the town guard are your enemies.
Yeah.
What if you start off with, you four are the town guard, and you just got wind that the Clantons,
fantasy cowboys,
the Clantons and the McLowries are down at the Soul K Corral place.
We're
all over the place.
We're
totally all over the place. What I want people at home to get out of this is you can do whatever you want. But Brian, what I want you to get out of this, man, is you got to make decisions that limit your prep.
Yeah.
You got to make decisions, because if you don't, you don't want to prep, you know, 8 hours of crazy outlining and writing requirements and doing all that for a 3 or 4 hour session. You can if you want to, I guess, but you want to make decisions that help you role play effectively without.
I would like the session to be like 90 minutes.
Ooh.
That's quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a long session.
We should talk soon about my work games, because I play over lunch hours, and there are ways to do that. There are ways to make a game happen in 90 minutes.
And so I want the games to be relatively quick, and what I really want to avoid, especially going, again, back to Theater of the Mind, because I want to have some sort of visual cue that I can look at, I don't want to get lost and then be caught with a player trying to do something and I'm not prepared to react to it. I really want to avoid that. I honestly, that's my biggest fear, is that, say, Ricky wants to do something and I then freeze because either it didn't fit into my framework or I just don't know how to respond. So I really, really want to avoid that. So I'm going to try to do whatever I can to minimize or to alleviate that fear.
I think I know what we're doing for an upcoming episode.
What's that?
We're going to print out some of the Pocket Fantasy RPG cards. We're going to, Mike, you and me will each take one.
Is this a flashcard?
I'll hand Brian the monster cards or the monster sheet with the rules. And Brian, we're going to challenge you to run us through a 30-minute adventure.
Ooh. Ooh, I like that idea.
On the show.
Just live.
And we'll pause. You can talk about, wait, now how do I set DC? And then we'll figure it out together. And
I love this.
It'll wind up being like a half-hour long ad for Pocket Fantasy RPG, but it's free. So, you know, we're not shilling. It's free. Who cares?
Yep.
We like the system. Let's just do it.
That's an awesome idea.
I love this idea.
We're doing that.
Fantastic.
All right. So you want to play in a fantasy setting. You want to play. This is a one shot. So the story's going to be over. Loot's not going to be a factor. It's a one shot.
So I think I'll have loot in it. Just plentiful loot, because...
Because it's a one shot. Who cares?
It's like you get loot and you get loot.
Scratch that itch. Give them, you know, something to get excited about. Yeah.
Okay. Think about at the end of a one shot. I'll leave you with this, and then I think we're done. I think we've mined this for all the content that we can for now. How do you have them walking away feeling satisfied for their characters?
Ooh. I don't... So I'm going back to, again, because I just basically am ripping off DM Scotty. I don't know that I felt satisfied for my character, but I felt satisfied for the group.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He tried a trick to make you feel satisfied. Do you remember his trick?
Oh, no, I don't.
He gave you your goal that you wrote down at the beginning of the game.
Remember? Oh. You could have one of three goals.
Yeah.
Walk out of this dungeon with the most money.
Mm-hmm.
Walk out of this dungeon famous, or become immortal.
Oh. Ooh, I love that.
So you could give them goals, or let them choose goals, and then let them achieve those goals during the adventure.
But then totally expect to run into players like me who write down a goal and then completely, you know, abandon it once they get into the game.
That's their choice.
Yeah.
I think my character wanted to be famous, if I remember right.
All right, so this is messy. This is sloppy. I think we are done for this episode. I think we've gotten what we can. Lesson learned for those of you who haven't GM'd. There's nothing to it. It's just asking yourself a lot of questions about what you want to do. And Brian, we didn't do this. Those of you at home, gather your materials up and start from there. Start with what you have. Start with what you know, and steal from what you know, and make it easy on yourself. And you want to make it easy. That way you're encouraged to repeat it and iterate. Don't go nuts. Don't feel like you have to go crazy mapping out this entire city. You want to limit things. So limit your scope. But good business lesson, limit your scope.
Scope creep is not your friend.
Scope creep is not your friend. Thank you for listening. People call them postmortems, evaluations, appraisals, reviews, retrospectives. We call them lessons learned, and we're sharing ours with you.